Welcome to the ASC Podcast with John Gailey, the longest-running podcast specifically focused on the freestanding ambulatory surgery industry. We would like to thank our sponsor, Surgical Information Systems, providing cutting-edge information solutions for surgery providers. Trivalence offers a comprehensive next-generation ASC solution that optimizes payment and supply chain performance, enabling actionable data insights. MedServe, which is the only digital narcotic cabinet specifically designed and priced for surgery centers, helping standardize processes and compliance, eliminate paper logs, and prevent drug diversion. And Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies, the nation's leading regulatory and accreditation compliance resource for ambulatory surgery centers. For more information about our sponsors, visit our website at ascpodcast.com.
Welcome to episode 218 of the ASC Podcast with John Gailey for April 17th, 2024, recording from ASCA 2024 at the Gaylord Palms Resort in Orlando, Florida. This is Christina Benton. I'm the President of Coding Compliance Management and the guest co-host of the ASC Podcast with John Gailey. We would like to remind our listeners that the ASC regulatory environment is a rapidly evolving landscape, and the material presented in this episode is based on the most current information available as of the date of the recording. As such, it is important to recognize that this information may be subject to change, and we advise all ASCs to stay up to date with the latest regulations and guidelines issued by their relevant regulatory bodies. And joining me today is John Gailey, the owner of Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies and one of the most respected experts in the ambulatory surgery industry. With over 30 years of experience, Mr. Gailey has authored over 10 books on the ASC industry and is a sought-after speaker on regulatory accreditation and finance issues.
So I'm here with quite a number of our listeners. I'm going to invite them all to kind of speak a little bit louder. I know that every one of you will not have a problem with that. And we're here on the first day of the conference. It actually will begin in approximately 30 minutes with the exhibit hall opening up downstairs. And I thought I'd get together employees of Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies, the employees of the ASC Podcast with John Gailey, my dear friend Christina Benton, who I coerced into being my guest co-host today, that I'll be speaking. And we have some of our clients here and some of our listeners. So I'm going to quickly go around because I want everybody to know who we have here. But so everybody, if you can just quickly introduce yourself. Christina, you already did. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Kim Fallone. I'm the administrator of Niagara ASC in Niagara Falls, New York.
Hi, I'm Christina Norman. I'm a regulatory specialist with Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies.
Hi, I'm Tina. I'm the CEO of Custom Surgical, and I work with Mr. Gailey on the ASC, the ASCA Education Committee.
We just finished an Education Committee meeting, which went on for 3 hours, so a lot going on here. Go ahead.
Hi, Laura Plummer, and I work at AHS.
Donna Macchio, I'm a regulatory specialist for AHS.
I'm Zach Kalaridis. I'm a finance consultant for Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies.
I'm Shane Stanford. I'm the current president of Virginia Ambulatory Surgery Association.
I'm Ellen Winter, administrator for Long Island Ambulatory Surgery Center in Brentwood, New York.
Kathy Fody, Ambulatory Healthcare Strategy Regulatory Specialist.
Tony Lyons. I'm a financial specialist with AHS.
Mary O'Day. I'm a support specialist with Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies.
We have a huge presence here from the Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies. One of the things that we feel very strongly in the company is how important it is for my people to be seen by our clients, to be seen, you know, by other people in the industry. And I'm so proud to have all of you here. You've already, I know, run up my bar tab pretty heavily, rumor has it. But I thought the first question we would ask is, what are the challenges that we're seeing out there? You know, so for our clients, you know, what are the things that really drive you? You know, what are you going to be looking for? In the sessions that you're attending here. And then over the next couple of days, as we have additional podcasts, we're going to, you know, talk about what you might have learned from that. So I'm going to start with Kim here.
Yep. So our biggest challenge right now is anesthesia, and I'm married to one, so he's my challenge. But anesthesia issue is huge across everywhere, and we're trying to keep them happy, but it's hard to keep them happy in many ways. But so in one instance, they're telling us fill the days, and then we fill the days, and then they're questioning why we're adding retina add-ons the same day. So it's just a challenge, and you want to keep them happy, but you want to slap them at the same time.
Well, and that's a very good point, is that I think we can, and anybody else wants to chime in, just raise your hand and I'll call you. But I think we are finding that across the board. I know Tony just spent yesterday working with one of our centers in Ohio because their anesthesia ends June 1st. And they're trying to figure out a new model, something that's going to be completely outside of their norm. Tony, why don't you actually talk about that and the challenge that organization has and how that...
They've had an anesthesiologist there for years and using CRNAs to work with him. And because of the challenges that he's experienced with reimbursement and getting CRNAs to work with him, he's getting tired of it and wants out of that responsibility.
And he wants to go back to actually just doing pain management because he finds pain management is more lucrative than anesthesia.
Which, of course, has drained a lot of anesthesiologists off of the profession, you know, as to where they've gone. But so they, you know, trying to decide what to do between getting a national firm or trying to do it themselves. And there are a lot of challenges in that and a lot of unknowns that financially that they're trying to sort out. And they won't know until they really get into this for a year or so. So taking it in-house is full of challenges with and risks with payers maybe wanting to bundle that service into the surgeries that they do now, as well as the startup risk of learning how to do that billing and negotiating those rates with the payers. So we have a client in Virginia that is just starting up, and they've already begun to address that issue and how to address it because they've got challenges there. So it's a challenge all across the country. That's one of the things I hope to find out more about when I'm here is maybe some discussions about how anesthesia is being handled, what are some better ways to do it, and what are some of the risks and how they're mitigating them.
Shane, you're in Virginia. What is going on? And Shane mentioned that he's the president of the Virginia Association. He also works for a company down there. Talk a little bit about what's happening in Virginia right now with anesthesia.
You're starting to see the same challenges nationwide in Virginia. They're starting to see some anesthesia CRNA groups that are trying to fill the void. So that's one of the things is a model instead of anesthesiologists and CRNAs, a true CRNA model that some centers are looking at.
Under the auspices of the physicians?
They can work independently.
So that's one thing our listeners have to remember is that you have to look at your state to know what the requirements are in your state. Tina, I'm going to look at you because you're in a couple different areas. So come a little bit closer. Tina's a little quieter. But talk a little bit. And you're also very active with your state association.
Yes. In Maryland, for the CRNA situation, they can work independently, but there are many states where CRNAs cannot. So then the surgeon would be taking that responsibility for taking on that anesthesia model.
And the legal liability that comes with it as part of your malpractice, correct?
Correct, absolutely. So I see this too as a huge challenge that we're all kind of facing right now in this anesthesia environment. I'm actually seeing in some cases, depending on what the specialty is, that they're bringing back a little bit more of nurse IV conscious sedation and doing away with anesthesia altogether, which depending on the you know specialty is kind of daunting to consider. So.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to coming up in your state association meeting, Shane. You and I haven't talked yet, but this is going to be a major topic in your state association meeting, right?
I mean, every surgery center that I'm aware of is struggling with stipends now.
Right.
Requests from stipends. So that really puts a big your financial outlook on your ASC.
And Kim, I'm having a flashback. I'm sure your husband ran through this too. Mm-hmm. This 30 years ago we were talking about stipends and then they disappeared for a long time and now they're suddenly back.
And it's scary because obviously with the ASC model, we don't have that much money to be stipending the anesthesiologist. But I think that the future is probably going to be that you're doing these surgeries without anesthesia, and that's what a lot of the office-based are doing now.
Right. So I challenge all of you as we're going through the conference just to kind of listen to and talk to other people. Again, we know that half of the conference really is, you know, the didactic learning, and then the other half is all the people that you meet as you go along here. Christine, I'm going to look at you. What you've got a lot of chance. Christine is one of our newer employees here at Amateur Healthcare Strategies. She was an active administrator in Buffalo, and we kind of just threw her right into it with a whole bunch of clients, none of which have been necessarily easy. Well, you know, a lot of challenges that they're having. So what are you looking for on behalf of your clients here?
So I know at least a lot of my clients, and a lot of all of our clients are facing staffing shortages across the board.
Right.
Whether it's nurses, scrub techs, X-ray techs. How they're mitigating
those or the business office staff.
Business office, yeah. How they're mitigating those situations and growing and learning from others that are here at the conference how to get creative with your surgical scheduling. And then a lot of people that are newer to their roles as administrator and directors of nursing and how they're learning those roles.
Right.
And that's what these classes here are great for.
And that's one of the things that we're really working with on the podcast right now is recognizing that there are a lot of people that are really new to the industry. You know, it used to be that we had, I'm going to look at Ellen now. We're new to the industry because Ellen and I have been in the industry for a while, not to put her on the spot. But, you know, but it used to be, right, Ellen, that we would go, I'm looking at Kathy too. We would, you know, recruit from the hospitals. Mm-hmm. And we would never hire anybody that didn't have a lot of experience. But that's changed, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So talk to me.
You're looking for new grads because you can teach them the way you want to, mold them. And I find that even when you get a good employee, they really don't stay more than a year or 2 years. It's a combination of you can't pay the salary competitive with a hospital.
Right.
And then you're limited on your experiences, and these are new grads that want to grow. And so you understand that. So you have a constant turnover.
Right.
Which that in itself is a huge challenge.
And you have to do a lot more mentoring than you did before. I'm looking at Tina right now because we just came from the education committee, and one of the sessions that we're working on for 2025 is about mentoring, recognizing that we're now going to have to do educational training. It used to be that we would rely upon the hospitals for doing the training for people coming into highly technical skills in there. And now, actually, one of the other education committee members talked about how difficult it is to find educational programs that are going to train people to be an operating room nurse. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, you come out of college, you don't come out, right?
No, they're non-existent.
That's right.
Right. And then you get these new employees, new staff.
Right.
And they don't have any skills to pull off of.
Right.
So you literally have to teach them every step of the way.
Right.
Each function, each task, why behind it. Because when we were getting experienced people from the hospital, you could throw them into a situation that they did not know, and they had something to pull from.
Right, right.
But these young girls, they don't have anything to pull from. And so by the time you finally teach them and they're able to think on their own, they're ready to go out the door.
Yeah. It's a full year. It's a full year of training before you take a new grad and have them ready to function in the operating room independently and comfortably.
Right.
So by the end of that year, with this new generation of nurses, and I don't even mean by age range, I just mean that the latest trend is people stay in their jobs now 3 to 5 years.
Right.
It used to be you got a job, it was a good job, you stayed there until you retired.
Yeah.
Those days are over. So you have 3 to 5 years with a new hire, and it takes one full year to train them to work in the operating room.
That's right.
And that's just to get them at base level.
Base level.
That's scary.
They're not even going to be able to do problem solving.
No.
Right.
It's no problem.
Right. No problem solving skills.
Yeah. No.
So it seems to me, I know this is something we've been talking about on the podcast. We definitely know we've got an issue, you know, as we're working with our clients to try to find ways to increase those skills. Because this isn't something you're going to learn in college.
Right. No.
It was something that they learned in the hospital. Yeah. Because there were people that were tasked with this. But we've never done that.
Right.
And I think now we're looking for opportunities to do that. And that's one thing, again, I'm looking for all of you to listen for this is great because now you're all hearing everybody else's needs. You know, listen for these, talk to other people about how they're dealing with that. And I think this to that point, Ellen, is extremely important. How are you bringing people on?
A big challenge that you try is to cross train,
right?
Because you don't have enough staff.
Right.
But then that's what prevents you from cross training, is because you don't have somebody to fill that position, so you can pull them to cross train into a position. Mm-hmm. And I find so nurses, you usually can kind of get replacements, but CSTs. And with the requirement now that everybody has to be certified in New York State.
At least in New York, yeah.
That's really a challenge. So we do have some nurses that we try to change to cross-train, but that's not really good utilization. And financially, it's not really a smart move, but it's the only way you're going to keep your OWAS open.
Right.
So to find certified people to meet those requirements is very, very difficult.
Go ahead, Shane.
So one of the ideas that when I was an administrator and our team come up with is we partnered with the School of Nursing to have their clinicals done at the ASC.
Yeah.
So they had at least exposure and know that ASCs do exist. It's not all at the hospital.
Right.
And we did hire a few of those, and they worked out very well. We trained them on site after their clinicals. So they were there for, I think it was 3 months. And then some of them did their externships at our center.
Yeah.
So it was a way to get them engaged in the ambulatory surgery world. And also, it was an interview every day they come in for a clinical. So,
Tina, I'm just thinking out loud, you know, on behalf of the board. I mean, none of us are on the board, but those of us that work with, you know, ASCA, wouldn't it be great if ASCA had an opportunity to have like a scholarship for students, nursing students, to come to an ASCA conference? I'm just throwing it out there. So if anybody is listening from ASCA, think about that, because I know that happens in some of these specialties like AAO and, some of these specialty organizations, this with med students coming up. Why can't we do that with nursing students? Why can't we do it with surg techs? Why can't we do it with other, to your point, catch them before they even get out of school?
We definitely need to start thinking outside of the box, though, because the challenge is going to be just keep expounding until we actually come up with something creative, like bringing them to ASCA, exposing them, making partnerships, to your point, with the different schools in your area, coming up and maybe building your own strategy for how are we going to train them. Do you have anybody on deck that is going to be able to mentor them? But we definitely need to put our heads together as an industry to figure out what we're going to do for moving forward.
And it's very expensive to come to these conferences. That's why, the virtual conferences that we offer have been very cost effective. But as we were talking about in the education committee this afternoon, the problem is that you're missing half the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I mean, you get pulled away.
Yeah.
I find with your conferences, like I'll start it and then
you mean you're not listening the whole time?
I have to pull away.
I'm so disappointed.
I try to. But when you're here, you're forced to be here and do all,
That's
when you're
right.
on those conferences, people pull you away all day.
Yeah.
So.
Kathy, I'm going to call on you. You've got a number of challenging clients. Right now, and you've got some startups, like some difficult startups even. What are you looking for here? What are you hoping to get from the conference?
Well, for ASCA, I think it's a great opportunity, like you had said, not only to kind of regroup and focus in on infection control or life safety education, but it also gives you the opportunity to meet the person beside you, start the chit chat, and be able to find out what's challenging out there. For us, it's credentialing.
Right.
Life safety is always changing.
Yeah.
The rules and regs of that. So it's a great opportunity for all of us to know, what's happening real time, and then apply it to helping our clients. So.
Yeah. It's definitely a unique environment we're in right now. I mean, I think we have more, things coming at us. I mean, we just mentioned a couple of them right now. But it does seem like staffing is an issue, an overall theme, right? Perhaps worse than it's been before. I'm looking at you, Donna. I know you've already spoken up a little bit, but you too have some of the challenging clients you have. Donna has the most diverse in terms of locations. So she covers much of the country, actually, at least. So what are you finding?
It's interesting. I do have clients on the East Coast and on the West Coast and out there in the middle and down south. And it's a common thread. Everybody.
Yeah.
Two things. Staffing, not necessarily always nursing, but CSTs, central supply staff, and anesthesia.
Right.
One of my centers recently went to all independent CRNA model and really had to struggle to get all of their physicians, it's an eye center, to get all of their physicians on board with supervising the CRNAs because it's just not something that those physicians have ever done in the past.
Right.
But that's a center I have here on the East Coast, and I have a center out in Arizona who has the same model for the same reason. They just can't find anesthesiologists.
Right.
So it's interesting. It's all over the country.
And if you don't think you have an anesthesia problem today, don't assume it's going to stay that way. I think that's an interesting theme that we've seen. It's coming. I'm going to put Zach on the spot here. Zach is one of our financial resources here. He handles financial reporting from some of our centers. Zach doesn't always have an opportunity to come out to these conferences. So, Zach, what are you looking for here? And what do you think? Because you look at the finances. You do our cost reports for our centers in New York. You do financial statements for one of our centers in Ohio. And for those that are not familiar, AHS is starting to go into the financial reporting side of the business. So what are you looking for as you're here?
Yeah, no, appreciate the opportunity to join in person. I haven't been to a conference in person in several years.
Pre-COVID.
I think it was just pre-COVID. It was New Orleans, 2020. But yeah, looking forward to the different financial components. I believe there's a session on aging and how to, you know, keep on top of aging and stuff like that. But yeah,
I hear there's going to be a great session on financial projections too. Oh, that's me. So, Christine, I saved the best for last. No, I'm kidding. You and I have spent a lot of the day together, and we've been talking a lot about a lot of things. So, choose one that's one of the biggest challenges, or the biggest challenge that you think that your clients are facing on the reimbursement, the revenue cycle side.
Getting the appropriate revenue, but also the first thing, the resounding. Commonality of what everybody's talking about is staffing.
Yeah.
They've never come up with the appropriate staffing for the business offices and the support staffing for the business offices. So trying to get the staffing and then the education for that staffing, which is why ASCA would be just the wealth of knowledge for the business office side, not just the clinical, and being able to keep that staffing. So it's very lucrative to be able to get somebody and keep them, just like everybody else from the clinical side, trying to keep a nurse, get a nurse, train a nurse. We're seeing the same issues on the business office side. And complacency with what people are doing. We've got complacency with their policies and procedures. So that's something that I wanna look at as far as misery loves company type of motif.
Well, and to your point, I think one of the things that we've never really worried about finding people in the business office, right? Reception, for example. But now we're competing with, you know, hamburger flippers. And again, nothing against hamburger flippers, but if they're getting paid more than our receptionists are getting paid, and yet many of our receptionists have to have, you know, a very different skill set that you don't have to worry about when you're not in front of people. You're paying a lot more for this.
That's right.
And you've got a very high turnover. To your point, there's a very high turnover. So, you know, and you're absolutely right. We're finding as we go into these centers that the business offices are suffering just as much as the other parts
not
of the operation.
Not to mention the institutional knowledge loss of the turnover of employees. It's hard to make up.
You know, Shane, that is such a good point, is that, you know, you hear this in the big companies. They talk about how much it costs to retrain somebody as opposed to keeping them happy. And actually, and I'd say the same thing about anesthesia right now, is that we have to be very careful. I know it's hard to kind of, let's say, suck it up and accept the fact that you're going to have to pay more, you know, for some of these services there, but there's no other options because you're shut down if your anesthesia people walk. And the same thing could be said for our business office, to your point, is that it's all well and good that you're doing, that you finally got up to your full nursing, but if you don't have anybody to code and bill,
then you shut the doors.
Bigger problem was coding and billing. Then I find right now it's easier to get nursing and clinical, our coding and billing was harder to get and harder to train and understand, and just completing that circle because they were billing, but nobody was ever rechecking to see if it paid and if it paid enough.
Very good point.
So that was our big challenge this year. And insurance company negotiation.
Yeah.
Like, we were working on a contract from 16, so we were getting paid nothing for, like, major procedures.
Yeah.
So
And nobody bothered to look at it.
And nobody knew. Yeah. Nobody knew that you had to renegotiate. So we had to renegotiate, and now, like, it's huge. It's making a big difference.
Joining us is our esteemed colleague, Lori Rodericks, who obviously got lost trying to find where we are. So we're going to totally put her on the spot here. Lori, why are you here? And you get out to see a lot of our clients. Those that don't know, Lori is our primary mock survey person. So what are the biggest challenges that you think we're all facing right now? And one of the things that you hope to get out of the conference today or this week?
Well, why am I here? Because you made me come. I'm here because I think that our organization, as in the Ambulatory Surgery Center world, is really important. It has its place. It takes care of patients in a kind and safe manner.
Yeah.
I just was in the elevator with a gentleman that didn't know what this was.
Yeah.
So we had a talk, and I said, you know, it's nice to be able to go and have surgery in a safe environment with healthy people, and have those that are not as healthy be in the environment where they need to be.
Right.
And so I think people forget that.
Yeah, and she bring up a good point. Sometimes we get so lost in the financial side, we get lost in the staffing side, and I know that we find that when we're talking to our leaders that they're, let's face it, you know, and all of you have been in this position, you know, there's a lot to be done in a short period of time, and you never walk away feeling that you accomplished everything. But we always have to remember to get back to that, you know, what's right for the patient. That's one thing that Lori and I have talked about quite a bit as surveyors, is that sometimes when we're sitting down and we're figuring out what we're going to cite, you know, especially an organization that might be really challenged, it really comes down to, you know, what the most important things that we need to look at are those things that affect patient safety. And we need to make sure that those are the things that we make very clear to those organizations that are going through a survey. That's what you need to focus on first. And then the other things, the paperwork. Okay, it's important because it documents what's going on, but if you don't even have a safe environment in the first place, you shouldn't be doing what you're doing.
Yeah, and you can make up paperwork.
Yeah. Yeah, I know you do it all the time. Expense reports, I believe.
I do. I make up something all the time.
What was that $10,000 bar tab yesterday?
That was Christina. That
was Lori's bank.
I think somebody made that up. You guys didn't do that.
Well, as you can all see, we're all having a lot of fun here. We're very excited. And, of course, I am holding you up from the alcohol down in the exhibit hall. Yes. So we're going to break. I do want to encourage, again, everybody that's listening, you know, listen to us. Keep in mind, you know, get yourself ready to come to ASCA 2025.
Denver.
Which is in Denver this year, or next year, you know, but we'll tell you about all the excitement that we have here. And with that, we're going to sign off, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
With the rapid changes occurring in the ASC industry, the exodus of experienced ASC administrators, nurse managers, and business office managers, there is an increasing demand for quality leadership education. That's where our industry-leading boot camps come in. In 2021, we introduced our administrator boot camp and the director of nursing boot camp, and in 2023, the business office manager boot camp. These boot camps have become the industry standard for ASC leadership training, and with over 225 graduates, lead the industry in mentored virtual training.
Live virtual training for the administrator boot camp occurs every January and July, and the director of nursing boot camp is October and May. Our new business office manager boot camp will continue in the spring of 2024. There are also on-demand versions of each boot camp for those who simply can't attend the live virtual programs.
All boot camps, including the on-demand boot camps, include access to resources, membership in the ASC Central Patron Program, copies of John's latest books, access to credentialing, conditions for coverage, and other recorded training programs, and of course our regular drop-in Zoom sessions where you can ask questions and interact with other patron and boot camp members.
Our programs also include AEU credits for those that are CASC certified. Our programs are comprehensive and taught by the nation's leading ASC experts and are designed for all levels of leadership, from experienced leaders who want to enhance their skills or pass the CASC exam, or those who are new to the industry and wish to learn how to run an ASC.
For more information about our live, virtual, and on-demand programs, visit ASC Central at asc-central.com. Or you can call us at 585-594-1167 or email us at info@ascpodcast.com for more information. This episode of the ASC Podcast with John Gailey is sponsored by Surgical Information Systems, providing cutting-edge information solutions for surgery providers. Trivalence, offering a comprehensive and next-generation ASC solution that optimizes payment and supply chain performance, enabling actionable data insights. MedServe, which offers the only digital narcotic cabinet specifically designed and priced for surgery centers, helping standardize processes and compliance, eliminate paper logs, and prevent drug diversion. And Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies, which is the nation's leading regulatory and accreditation compliance resource for ambulatory surgery centers. For information about any of our sponsors, please visit our website at ascpodcast.com. This podcast is an educational and operational tool and is not intended to be a comprehensive resource for all rules, regulations, and standards that an ambulatory surgery center must meet. The advice provided should not be considered as, nor does it constitute legal advice or opinion. When reviewing specific situations involving legal and regulatory issues, attorneys and other professionals should be consulted. This has been a production of Eden Group Development. All rights are reserved. If you're interested in advertising or sponsoring the ASC Podcast with John Gailey, please email us at info@ascpodcast.com. And we'd love to hear your questions and comments. Please email us at comments@ascpodcast.com.